This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Medlin.
Heyo.
In the hizzy on a Monday from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, where the answer to the question I posed at the end of Friday's show of which of these two series, if either, or both, or neither, I think I've covered all the options.
Zero.
Which will still be going on? And the answer is none of them. Neither of them.
Yeah.
Dunzo. NBA and NHL, we will talk about those momentarily here. Greg Peterson will join us, talk Major League Baseball. Dallin Cuff on what has been an awesome World Cup so far. Are Survivor entries looking pretty good already?
Well, let's go. Well, of course. What would anybody else expect, Gil?
That's right. From us? Soccer? Are you kidding me? Wes Reynolds a little later on. It is U.S. Open week at Shinnecock Hills. Wes Reynolds will discuss with us. Weather is a factor, it looks like. You know how weather reports go. But anyway, on a Monday, that's how it appears. So you might have to handicap around that. Adam Burke on Major League Baseball will dip into some NFL awards a little later on. Our NFL betting guide is coming out on the 22nd. So that's a week from today. Our stuff that we're writing is due this Thursday, Kelly Bidlin. Just a reminder here. Because you know me. I'm always aware of deadlines here at the network.
My homework is in. It's done.
Done.
It is on our document, ready to be edited and proofed and whatever. But my English is perfect.
Your English is perfect on that?
Yeah.
I saw yours. I have one elaborate one. You went one elaborate. So first of all, there's a grid for all, like a whole bunch of VSiN hosts and regular guests. Typical.
Oh, you went to the grid.
Division champs, yeah. Super Bowl, conference champs, that kind of thing. But then we also offer our best bets. And I saw you did one pretty elaborate one and one pretty straightforward one, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
I would think they're pretty straightforward. Well, I mean, both of them I've talked multiple times about on this show already.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think mine is going to end up that way. I like one above all. I don't know whether to talk about it on the show or just wait for the guide to come out. But
we'll wait for the guide and then we'll talk about it, right?
Okay. All right, we'll do it. Let us discuss, though, first of all, let's do this in most recent order. Let's do it with the Stanley Cup final ending last night here at T-Mobile. The Carolina Hurricanes are your Stanley Cup champions. Congratulations to all their fans, all their backers who had the Hurricanes in whichever fashion you might have had them. They beat the Golden Knights last night, win the series 4-2. And like we will say with the New York Knicks, they sure deserved it. Carolina, the better team up and down. After the Golden Knights took the 4-0 lead in game 3, remember that game where Mitch Marner had the hat trick in 6 minutes and 10 seconds? The Golden Knights coughed up the lead and eventually won it in overtime to take a 2-1 series lead. From that point forward, Carolina outscored VGK 16-6 the rest of the way. 16-6 the rest of the way. It was reminiscent of year one for the Golden Knights when they played the Capitals in the Stanley Cup final. Golden Knights won the first game, and then the Capitals outscored VGK the rest of the way 16-8. Caps scored 20 goals in that series. I guess Hurricanes even scored more in this series. And remember the question that I asked of Jake Hahn on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. This was after Game 3 when the Golden Knights were up two games to one, and I dared ask him the question because even though they were up 2-1, Hart looked very, very vulnerable in net. And I dared ask him, hey, do you think John Tortorella, because Rod Brindamore had made the change in goal from Anderson to Bussey. And I dared ask Jake the question, should the Golden Knights do that? And Jake, who's super Canadian polite, right? But I could tell, didn't want to laugh at me, but sort of was like very kind in being dismissive and saying, yeah, it's not going to happen. And then Stormy, right? Both Stormy and Jake know hockey so much better than we do. And Stormy, after the show, she was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then an intrepid reporter after game 4, when the series got knotted up at 2 games apiece, dared ask John Tortorella the same question. You going to go to Aiden Hill? By the way, any chance of that? And Tortorella said, stupidest question I've ever heard in my life. Well, I don't know if either of those questions was that stupid in the end. Yeah. I really don't.
It's always like one of the toughest things that you and I always talk about. Not like we're the biggest hockey handicappers on the planet, but the whole goal, switching the goalie, I always find fascinating, right? Because do you stick with what's got you there to that point? It seems often when they make these changes to be too reactionary, in my opinion. But, man, I know a lot of times you got a couple really good guys in net, and in Carolina had multiple options to go to there. And it is always fascinating to me when we get in big series when coaches decide to do that.
Yeah, Cap scored 20 goals in 5 games in the year one of the Vegas Golden Knights season in the Stanley Cup final. The Carolina Hurricanes scored 24 goals in 6. So it's sort of reminiscent of that. And then Jordan Staal, boy, oh boy, if you had Jordan Staal for Conn Smythe, good on you. By the way, Rod Brind'Amour wins as a player with the Hurricanes, the former Hartford Whalers, by the way, Whalers fans rejoicing up in Connecticut. He won it in 2006 as a player, as a captain with the Carolina Hurricanes. Now he wins it as coach. Jordan Staal becomes the oldest player to ever win the Conn Smythe, 37 years old. 17 years between championships for him. He won it as a wee lad, the 2009 Penguins. 37 years old. Now, look at this. Is from Josh Ingles over at Covers, who put his these are Jordan Staal's Conn Smythe odds in sort of in real time order here. He opened at 300-1 before the Stanley Cup playoffs. Remember, Conn Smythe is for the entire playoffs. He opened at 300-1, right? 16 teams going. Jordan Staal, one player on the Hurricanes, 300-1.
Right.
Before game one of the Stanley Cup final, he was actually backed up to 500-1.
How the hell was that possible? Okay.
Okay, so he's 500-1 because he had other teammates that were much more worthy at that point. More worthy, let's not say much more worthy, but more worthy, let's say, with the Hurricanes. So before game one, he's 500-1. Now, game one of the Stanley Cup final, he has a goal. Game two, he has a goal. Game three, he has a goal and assist. But at that point, remember, that was when the Golden Knights led 2-1. So he only in quotes, went from 500-1 to 100-1, not because of his performance in the first three games, as I just said, but because the Hurricanes were down 2-1. Then he scored early in game four. His odds dropped real time, live odds to 40-1. And then if you recall, his second goal in game four was to break up the 3-3 tie, the one where he got fed the puck. Wes Jarvis was in the corner, sent it over to Ehlers, who then passed it to Staal, who, falling down to his right, flipped it over Carter Hart's glove, or to actually touch the glove, and went in. From that point, he was 7-1. It dropped from, so within that game itself, from 100-1 to 40-1 to 7-1. Then he scored again in game five. Carolina went up 3-2. At this point, he's 3-1 after that goal in game five. Didn't have a point last night, but that was enough to get him the Conn Smythe. Again, oldest player to ever get it. Congratulations to Jordan Staal. Congratulations to the Carolina Hurricanes. They were the better hockey team, man. And if you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan and you have a moment to breathe about it, now you can sort of put it all in perspective and say, you know, we were like a game or two away from not even making the playoffs. A point or two, right?
Totally.
So what a run it was, just not meant to be in the end. And you've been to 3 Stanley Cup finals in 9 years, and you got one cup. But I do think that, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Jeff Hoos, who used to run the RA Sportsbook. He's a big Hartford Whalers guy back in the day. He's a big hockey guy. And he was saying, he goes, you know what the knock is on Torts up here? Torts, who had this great record, John Tortorella, he goes, the knock that we always thought about him throughout his coaching career in the NHL was go up 1-0 and then pray. But he could do that whenever he had great goaltenders, right? And that was his sort of description of Tortorella's coaching career. I don't know how accurate that is or not, but you can't do it when your goaltender is just letting everything go by.
Yeah, having problems. Yeah, 12 goals in the last 3 games. Ouch.
24 in the entire series. Carolina deserved it. So did the New York Knicks. And we'll bleed over into the next segment about the Knicks. But the New York Knicks beat the San Antonio Spurs in 5. They, of course, do it famously on Saturday night on the Spurs home court in a magical playoff run we are likely never to see again. They were down 2-1 to the Atlanta Hawks in the opening round series, and then proceeded to win the next 3 games in that series, then went sweep, at one point had gotten to 13 wins in a row when they won the first two against San Antone, end up winning 15 of 16 playoff games to close it out. And more impressive, if it's even possible to be more impressive than that, 15 of 16 playoff games, mm-hmm. Kelly. Remember, we were saying not only the greatest 11-game stretch or the greatest 12-game stretch or whatever it was, 13-game stretch in the history of the NBA, but the history of the NBA regular season or playoffs. And they're doing it in the playoffs and into the final. The nature of those wins against the Spurs. Do we have the, by the way, the win at 94-90. Do we have the live win probability percentage one first by any chance, Danny? Because this is the amazing one. This is from Tomer Azarli. According to ESPN Analytics, in the four games the Spurs lost in the NBA Finals, so not including Game 3, they had a 91.6% chance of winning Game 1, up 13 points midway through the third, a 72.8% chance of winning Game 2, up 2 points with a minute left in the fourth, a 99.6% chance of winning Game 4, up 20 points with 9:33 left in the fourth, and a 95.4% chance of winning Game 5, up 10 points with 7:54 left in the fourth. The Spurs had 14-point leads or more in every single one of these games, including, of course, the 29-point lead in Game 4. Any one of these individually in previous years, we would be talking about at length.
Mm-hmm.
This was four of them in a row. Optostats, there have been 48 total five-game spans by teams in NBA history, regular or postseason, where they led by 8-plus points at the end of the first quarter in all five. In 47 of the 48, the team had a winning record over the five games, all except the Spurs in the 2026 NBA Finals. They went 1-4. Oh, there's more of these superlative stats, and they're the only way to put it in proper context. And like with Vegas Golden Knights fans, if you're a Spurs fan or a Spurs backer, there's nothing you can say. They didn't deserve it. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season may still be months away, but the best bettors are already preparing for it. Next week, VSiN releases its NFL betting guide, packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races in the upcoming season. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to visit VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets beating the book. Pickens hard. What an amazing weekend of sports betting. Turned $250 into $5,000. VSiN is the real deal. I don't know what he bet on, but good on him.
There you go.
Jesse Welch, pardon me. All right, boys, the Canes and Knicks did us all a favor by wrapping up early so we can deep dive into the World Cup every day now. Let's get it, Paul Carr. Well, we have Dallin Cuff on today, talk World Cup, and we will have Paul Carr on. Call on tomorrow, that's right. Los Vegas 514, yo, I guess the Nats nor the humidity affected UFC 250. Every single fight ended in a knockout or TKO for the first time. Besides the Marine Band, the jet flyover, and the weird rich people in attendance. Good job, UFC. All right. Dave Ross was in attendance, by the way, I believe.
Yeah.
I think he was, right? Yeah. Sean's Fox plays. I really think
You're kidding, right?
No, I think he was there, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. Was he?
Yeah, I believe
Dave Ross? It was not there.
Oh, I thought he had a picture on Twitter where he's like, oh, I'm here.
Yeah, no.
Oh, maybe I too. Hopefully he got knocked out of that. Okay.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I think it was just the fact that it was a Sunday and there was Stanley Cup going on, World Cup. There was just a lot going on. I checked in and out.
I was making my way back from Carolina. Sean's Fox plays. I really think the NBA should recognize Keldon Johnson as the Conn Smythe Award too. If the NBA is going to give the award to the player who's 22nd in points, all leagues should do the same. He's not happy that Jordan Stahl won. Is what he's saying, I believe. Martin,
I couldn't decide if he was going that way or Keldon Johnson anti-sixth man award. Not a good NBA playoffs for award winners throughout the course of it.
That's true. Martin Bernstein. Good morning, Knicks winner now. I have Knicks 20-1, White Sox 40-1, $10 to make 86-10. Thank you for VSiN for giving me these picks ideas. All right, Martin Bernstein. So I think he meant he has a Knicks-White Sox parlay. Is that what he's saying he has? Maybe he had both of them. I don't know. Chris Heath, you'll have to ask Dallin if Spain is five times more likely to win the whole game that the first half because that's what the odds predict. Then the first half because that's what the odds predict. Based on the odds. All right. Gotti, Irv, Magic 13. Hart allowed 22 goals, not 24. If not for him last night, that game is 5-6-0. One goal was a breakaway. The other he had no chance on. The Hart talk has been a bit much. He was slightly above average expectations through the playoff run by advanced metrics. Different approach on that. A different viewpoint on Carter Hart. Brian Point Schaefer. Gil, after hearing your tone about Jalen Brunson last week, the time that you put some respect on him, he's a winner. I believe he's a top five player in this league. Well, I don't know if he's a top five player, but Jalen Brunson was awesome. Mm-hmm. 45 points in game five, and all the OG Anunoby ticket holders had no chance after that.
Yeah, man.
Jalen Brunson had 45. The rest of the Knicks had 49. By the way, Jalen Brunson is awesome. The only thing that I was talking about was juxtaposed against OG for MVP in the finals. What I was saying was that Brunson's point total was so inefficient compared to that of OG Anunoby. At no point have I ever cast any hate on Jalen Brunson. That was the only context with which I was saying it. Jalen Brunson absolutely deserves MVP. And by the way, he's married to a doctor. You know that? He's a doctor. who can dislike him for that? By the way, here's Taylor Snar going with peak in-game win probability for the Spurs and their finals losses. He has a little different take on this. Look at this. Maybe this is more conclusive. Games 1, 2, 4, and 5, the Knicks 4 wins. 94.1%, 90.9%, 98.7%, 97.1%. Those are the win probabilities for the Spurs at any given point, at the peak points in those four games. You get the idea. It's insane what happened. And the real question, I guess, Kelly, is where does Knicks team of destiny stop and Spurs choke begin in all of this? Because because I used to say the Virginia Cavaliers, right? The Wahoos, when they won March Madness, the year after they lost to UMBC as a number one seed. I always used to say Jeff Parlay was Grover Cleveland producers with the producer at the time. And we used to say, that win over Auburn, that win over Purdue, like, we throw around this phrase, team of destiny, but really the Virginia Cavaliers, they were team of destiny. If any team ever was, that was it. This Knicks team is that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, on the win probabilities things real quick, I don't know what's happened, but over the past like 5, 6, 7 years when we've seen these things, what one of two things is correct here, Gil. Either 98% chance win probabilities lose all the time, seemingly, or these win probabilities are wildly off that these networks are doing. It's just incredible. Like, how many times have me and you said that? We're like,
we come
in here the morning after, like 99.6% chance to win.
If you've listened to a numbers game long enough, you know that I believe in win probabilities pretty sacredly when it comes to baseball. Because it's more mechanical.
Right.
These two guys are on base. This is the score. This is the inning. That kind of thing. Yes, it doesn't account for who the pitcher is and who the batter is. But generally speaking, that's a more mechanical measurement than it is. 2nd and 13 at your own 17 with 4 minutes left in the third. Right. Like, there's just too many variables. But you know, I think basketball is more accurate than football.
I think it's more, but I think it's in between the two. I think you can get, there's a lot of hot shooting streaks and stuff like that, right? The Knicks, it's an incredible run. I think the question that you posed, I don't know that it's, trying to be fair here, because I think the Spurs, I don't know if I want to go full choke. I think the NBA Finals, and this is maybe the most amount of credit I can give the New York Knicks, is that they showed that this Spurs team still has a bit of a ways to go. Even though we can talk about every single one of these games being incredibly close, I think the New York Knicks exposed some things about the Spurs that even Oklahoma City couldn't. And that's an incredible, incredible compliment. To what the Knicks did over that NBA Finals. And it was really showing that is Victor Wembanyama ready offensively to take over at the end of every single game? I'm not sure that he is. He's still really, really young. I still think he's probably developed into the best player in the NBA. But all these guys need help. And then it is like, we can talk about all these things are true. I think easy path for the Knicks, getting through the playoffs, but you still get to the NBA Finals and you beat a team that you and I thought were going to be right there as far as a championship contender. And you beat them in five games. It's about as impressive as you could say. And I don't know about you. We weren't together watching the game on Friday night. It was the first time ever when that game got down under 3 minutes. I said, Spurs don't have a chance. We've seen this time and time again.
This is why on Friday, what I was saying was, the Spurs down 3-1, right? Two things can be true at the same time. Should feel as good as any team ever in a best of seven series down 3-1 because they led all of these games by 14 points or more. And then the ... was, right? On the other hand, they've also given up all of these. So especially a 29-point lead, why should they feel comfortable ever? And this was what you just said is the greatest example of that. Absolutely. This was the inexperience of that. First of all, I think you're right. It's two things. It's one, there was, because they haven't like sort of anointed Dylan Harper the guy at the end of games, because they were unwilling to do that, that's the problem is they have no guy to go to at the end. And the second thing is, yes, the sphincter was tight. When they got up all those points, they couldn't hit a shot to save their lives. So it's a bit of both. I know Knicks fans don't want to acknowledge the Spurs choking part of it. It's all that. It's all Knicks, but part of it was that.
I think the part with the Knicks, lastly on the Spurs, maybe thank God we don't have more games to talk about them, because our guy, even Dylan Harper, he had some chances at that end of that last game. Oh boy, he missed some bad shots. De'Aaron Fox just continues to pull up from mid range and brick. And the Knicks, Jalen Brunson's awesome. He's been awesome. I think for the past few years, Jalen Brunson, you've had the least amount of questions about on this team, except for maybe what he can do defensively. I am a believer still in the small guard point. I think it's very tough to win with a small guard being your leader. Steph Curry's really the only other example that we've seen with that, and I don't believe those guys are on the same level.
How could you not love Jalen Brunson?
Who we
saw at Summer League playing for the Mavericks. They discarded him. He gives up really $100 million to have the team improve around him. A plus 283-point differential for the Knicks, the best in a single postseason in NBA history. Not to cut you off, Kelly, but I just want to get these in. Mm-hmm. Pounding the rock. Astonishing stats about the Spurs this season in 106 games total, regular season and playoffs. Never lost more than two games in a row. This is before the NBA Finals. Never lost more than two games in a row. Only lost by more than 15 points twice. OKC in January and the Knicks in March. And then only team with two undefeated months, October and February, all for naught once they got. And this is, to me, this is the one that really contextualizes it the best. Roger Sherman, good job by you. Craziest stat for me, he says. The Knicks had the number one, number three, and number five biggest comeback wins in NBA Finals history in the same finals.
It's incredible.
That's all you need to know. What do you suppose? And again, add the Spurs 19-1 ticket on Christmas Day or whatever you have the Spurs at to the pile of great bets that simply weren't meant to be. That's betting sometimes. Tip of the cap to the New York Knicks. Congratulations to their fans. First championship in 53 years. Greg Peterson on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for more at sharpplays.com. We get tweets beating the book. Sean's Fox Plays, he is still not happy about Jordan Stahl winning Conn Smythe. He said they single-handedly changed an award for the last 50 years. He must have been first in goals scored to win. No, that's Stankoven. He must have been first in assists. No, that's Blake. They changed the league to he deserves to win it to he earned it. Changed the award to that, he said. Michael Burns is happy about it, though. He said, I was late to the Stahl party, but got 100-1. I'll take it. Big thanks to JD. That's our buddy Jonathan Davis. Good on you, Michael Burns. It should be pointed out also, because I cited this stat on numerous occasions, that the 1988 Edmonton Oilers had the record in the 16-win playoff format ever since that was installed for the best playoff run win-loss record, 16-2. They won the Stanley Cup in 1988 with a 16-2 record. These Carolina Hurricanes were 16-3. I mean, that's how dominant they were.
Pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. Kelly This is from Shrek McPhee. How is Wemby 7'5" and has no game with his back to the basket? Best player in the NBA? Hell no. Defensively, probably. And Mark Gupta. Wemby reminds me of early Jordan. MJ was taking a beating, wearing out, but realized he had to get his body ready for extended playoff runs. He went on a ridiculous fitness program, added muscle, etc. Will Wemby do the same? That's a great point. It's a great point. You gotta fill out.
That's very fair. I mean, his fatigue was definitely an issue. And like, you know, last I checked, defense is part of the game, right, Go?
Yeah, I did. I'm checking. Yeah, that's correct. That checks out. Kevin Downs, my brother from another orange and blue skies. Don't underestimate coaching experience in Brunson. Can't wait for the parade. Hey, I'm not the only one to have underestimated the Knicks.
Man.
Good on them.
Real quick, just to finish my one thought from there. Brunson's awesome. But like Brunson, I feel like, is the one part that we knew was awesome. To me, this story is about the development of Karl Anthony Towns and what Mike Brown did with this team. And they're that great. OG Anunoby shot like 56% through the playoffs. He was incredible. And then Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges, who fell off towards the end. What's the quote, Gil? Winning means you never have to say you're sorry. 5 first-round draft picks, it doesn't matter anymore.
All worth it.
All worth it. New York Knicks championship.
All worth it. They will always, for me, for the rest of the time, they will always be remembered as a team that no deficit was too big to come back
from. Incredible. It was incredible.
What do you say?
In the clutch like that.
Incredible.
You have Captain Clutch, Jalen Brunson. I mean, he becomes what your all-time leading point per score average in the fourth quarter of NBA Finals. It's incredible.
Greg Peterson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81, one of the most entertaining Twitter feeds across the entire planet Earth,
yeah.
I have to say. Greg joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, talks of Major League Baseball. Greg, I won't belabor the Twitter feed part of things because we're obviously talking about your dating life, but I noticed the saga continues. My only question here today about this is, do you ever consider, and people can go to your Twitter feed and sort of get the latest details on it when they want to, do you ever consider perhaps changing up the pool or the methods for which you are trying to get dates? Going to different places, perhaps not doing it online, whatever the case is?
All the time. Like, you don't know how much I could wish I could meet someone outside of an app, but... That said, as we know in lovely Las Vegas, that can be very, very difficult. I had someone suggest you should go to casinos to try to pick someone up. I don't think that that's where I want to be.
That's probably
meeting people to hook up or anything like that. That probably would not be great, to say the least. I've had someone offer to go to church or something like that.
Yes.
The challenge isn't finding a date over at church. The challenge is finding someone under the age of 55 at all at church, male or female. So I've been trying.
Right.
Like, trust me, I have been trying, and I look at all these, and I'm like, man, there's just nobody to be met there. Like, you always hear about these stories about people, how they met in the grocery store and everything like that. Where's my happy ending?
The grocery store.
You're praying for it to be somewhere, some way there. It hasn't been there yet, and I do mix up a lot of different apps. I'm on like 5 or 6 different of them. I'm always looking for different sources. Right now, we're just having a little bit of a struggle. So I treated myself to Texas Roadhouse last week. Made me feel great.
There you go. Greg Peterson, everybody.
I was like the super bad line. You don't want to meet a chick in a bar, man. You gotta go to other places like a spin class, farmer's market, pumpkin patch, given the time of year.
Pumpkin patch. Well, Greg, listen, maybe one day it will require a change of venue. Do you think you'll have to move one day to find true love? Will that be how it happens?
I don't know. We shall see on that, because I never really had success in the great state of Wisconsin either. Mm. Ironically enough, my best triumphs were when I was in the city of Portland. And
best triumphs.
Portland is a very interesting city, to say the least. I was a good one-man wolf pack out there in Portland. So
wow.
Maybe we need to just go back to Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Well, we all wish you luck. We're all rooting for you. That's for sure. Let's get to the Greg Peterson Fab Five. Beginning with the Marlins and the Phillies, this just in, the Marlins won the race to 10 in the month of June. Like
congratulations.
Like everybody saw coming. They have a 2-win lead in terms of the market for the most wins in the month of June. They're 10-2, for God's sakes, taking on their division rival Phillies. What are you playing here?
Oh, they have been tearing it up in this month, and that 2-game lead, I think, is going to be dwindling after today because they've got Ryan Gusto on the mound. Nome Gusto, the fact that he's got a 6 ERA in 9 innings thus far this season, and before you say that's a small sample size, had a 5.57 ERA between the Marlins and the Astros last year. It was giving up a home run and a half per nine innings. Zach Wheeler is also giving up more contact than in the past. His strikeouts per nine rate is as low as it has been since 2020. His fielding independent is more than a full point higher than his ERA. And I've just always noticed this with the Phillies. They always do such a better job with their offense at home rather than away from home. That dates all the way back to last year. Has been a Phillies team that's been a little bit rough on offense. We saw that over the weekend when they got one whopping hit against Jacob Isurowski. They got shut out yesterday. I think this is a nice bounce back spot for them. Took the Phillies on the run line at right around even money, and I'm in on that total of 7 after the over.
Royals are taking on the Nationals at Nationals Park in D.C. tonight. You know, we're not quite at the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season, but without question, one of the biggest surprises juxtaposed against what we thought pre-flop, what the market thought pre-flop, are these Washington Nationals, who are 37-35 through 72 games. Conversely, the Royals, there's a lot of baseball folks who thought the Royals were going to be good. Not really. You're on the Nats again tonight.
Yeah, I was not a believer in the Royals coming into the season, and looks like they're going to be starting Mitch Spence, who he just made a triple-A start a few days ago, so he's going to be on short rest, trying to be able to give the Royals anything whatsoever. You're probably going to be getting a lot of the bullpen, and that's not a good thing. For the Royals, they are a bottom five team in terms of bullpen ERA. For the Washington Nationals, number one in terms of run creation this year with 5.4 runs per game. And I'm a believer now, Jeromel Alvarez. He's got about a 370 ERA. The fielding independent is even lower. He's getting over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, keeping the ball in the yard. Royals offense dead last in terms of run creation away from home, getting like minus 130, minus 135 on the Nationals. Sign me up for that money line.
All right. I mentioned the Marlins were the best team thus far in the month of June. The worst team has been the Cincinnati Reds. They're 3-9 with a minus 26 run differential. The great days of March, April 2026 are far behind them. The Mets are at Cincinnati at the Great American Small Park today, where the Reds are a minus 135 favorite.
Yep, and I think that this is a good bounce-back spot for the Reds because, for one, the Mets have been a good bounce-back spot for a lot of teams this far this season, and they're going to get Tobias Myers, who's going to start here for the Mets. He's got a 405 ERA north of a 450 fielding independent. David Peterson should be coming in after that, and I love the last name. Don't love the fact that he's got a 575 ERA, backed up by a bottom 10 offense in terms of run creation, and Chase Burns has really been one of the few bright spots here for the Reds recently. 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, sub 225 ERA. I think that he's a Red stopper after it was a rough series for them against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Reds are right around minus 135, like them on the money line.
Padres and Cardinals, our old friend Lucas Giolito against Dustin May. The total is 8.5.
Yep, I think that it's going to be May-day for runs. I'm going to take a shot on the under because with Dustin May, well, he's got an ERA of a 4.22. Fielding independent is more around a 3.25. Swing and miss stuff is starting to come back for him. He's dealt with a lot of injuries throughout his career. For those that remember, he was a big-time up-and-coming prospect back when he was with the LA Dodgers quite a few years ago. Seems to be putting it all together. Don't have a lot of faith in Lucas Giolito, but I do like that Padres bullpen. Top three team in terms of bullpen ERA. They've got great depth there, and Padres out of 30 teams there at 30th in terms of run creation. They just have not been able to put up runs on the board. Fernando Tatis Jr. has two more home runs than the three of us. Not a place where we want to be. So 8.5 total, I like the under.
And then two teams that by any measure have been disappointing record-wise at this point in the season based on where we thought they might be before the season started. Tigers are at the Astros, with the Astros a slight favorite.
Yep, I'm taking plus money here on the Tigers. Would like to be able to get a little bit more than like plus 110, which I'm seeing right now. I was able to find a plus 120 overnight personally with Troy Melton. He's been a nice surprise here for the Tigers. Not getting a lot of swing and miss, but he's been able to keep the ERA below three, has good command, and Kai Wei Tang, he has been a guy that's been giving up 4+ walks per 9 innings for this Astros team that has a bottom 10 bullpen in terms of ERA, so with the Tigers being able to get plus money on them, plus they're getting back the likes of Gleyber Torres, Kerry Carpenter, who have dealt with injury, took a shot here on the Tigers on the money line.
Greg Peterson's Fab Five, Marlins, Phillies over 7.5, Nats over the Royals, Reds over the Mets, Padres, Cardinals under 8.5, and the Tigers as a slight dog over the Astros. Greg, thank you, and good luck with all things, if you know what I mean.
Thank you, and I'll probably need it.
Greg Peterson, everybody. Country Club and next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, still to come on the show today. Looking forward to Dal and Cuff talk some World Cup with us.
Hell yeah.
Watched a lot of soccer.
Me too, man.
Since the beginning of the tournament.
Let's go draws.
Been a great tournament so far. Fun to watch. We'll talk to Dallin. And then a little later on the show, Adam Burke, Wes Reynolds. We'll talk U.S. Open golf with Wes, baseball with Adam. I just want to say before we get into country clubbing, I went to the Highlands, North Carolina this
weekend.
Yes,
how was
it? Wedding.
It
was Vegas to Charlotte, Charlotte to Asheville, then drove 90 minutes from Asheville to the Highlands.
Jeez.
And then turned right around after the wedding the next day, did the same thing back.
Right.
I don't know how I got back here because there's weather. I somehow, like, you know, the pilot from Asheville to Charlotte was like, we might have to turn this around because they might not give us clearance because of weather. Anyway, somehow we got clearance. But I just want to say to the good people of Charlotte, and this has been, you and I were talking about this a little off air, the Charlotte airport is always mayhem.
It's something. Yep.
Mayhem. So I had my connections, this is not Charlotte airport's fault, but my connections required me sprinting through the airport twice from one terminal to two or three terminals over. The way back, I barely made it. Like, I just got it. Group six, I was like, hey, here I am.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm amazed at how packed that airport is every time
I've
ever been in it.
You get the usuals, I think, that make sense, like LAX or JFK that are nutty, you know. But it's these Atlanta and Charlotte, the hubs, right? Which it's great because it gives you more flight options, which is nice. But yeah, the downside if you don't like airports already, like me, oh boy, is that a living nightmare! Like 10 million people all rushing to get somewhere,
dodging people.
Now,
using swim moves on people to get to your terminal.
You got to use the swim moves.
I had a couple swim moves in there. There was a spin move in there.
Out of the way. Spin move, yep. I will say, though, I believe really good Mexican restaurant I ended up at one time in the Charlotte airport. I don't know why I remember that.
I couldn't stop and eat.
I remember that. I don't know why, but I do.
Anyway, good on you, Charlotte. You got the job done. Appreciate it. And the two kids are married, so congratulations.
Hey! Did you get hiking at all? Did you hit the trails?
No time.
You really didn't have any time.
No time.
You red-eyed Friday night, right?
I did.
Yeah, you really had no time.
El ojo rojo, as the kids say.
You're a good man. Probably a wedding I would have been like, yeah, sounds fun. I just don't really have time to do it.
I know the father forever.
I mean, it's a day blitz, like you said. Yeah. I mean, it is fly. I mean, you did multiple flights, too.
Yeah, man. Let's go country club and let's do it. So it's grass court season on the tennis tour, and let's just say it's been interesting. So I didn't do anything really most of last week, and then over the weekend I started giving out.
Saw a couple bets, yeah.
Started okay. Then yesterday, though, an 0-2 where Taylor Fritz against Ben Shelton went 2 of 11 on break points. We deserved better. That wasn't fun. And then this morning I only had one play on Maya Joint at +150. This is in Nottingham. You like Nottingham, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maya Joint +150 against Yulia Starodubtseva, or Starodubtseva, I believe it's pronounced, from Ukraine. Joint wins the first set tiebreaker 10-8, so I'm all pumped. Then I'm sitting here doing the show here in the first hour. She's up a break in the second set. She's serving for the match. Gack. Loses the second set and is now down a break early in the third set. Not fun, people. Not fun.
All right, but you're not done yet.
No, I'm not done yet, but it's not looking good.
I thought you were done.
No. So in other words, what's my feeling about all this? Grass court numbers look good. These they're just not going my way here early, so let's get these out of the way before we get to the good stuff, and we're really betting a whole bunch. Wimbledon, which happens here later this month. When actually does Wimbledon start?
Let me 2 weeks?
Yeah, Wimbledon is, June 29th. I didn't want to make sure that it did start this month. June 29th. The fortnight at Wimbledon starts June 29th, the Grass Slam. So just 2 weeks away from now, Jannik Sinner. Remember, Carlos Alcaraz is not playing. Again, with a wrist injury, sitting this one out. So Jannik Sinner at -200 is your favorite, which is right about where he should be. Novak Djokovic still going after that 25th Grand Slam title, 6-1, followed by French Open champion Sasha Zverev. Wow, we can actually say that. 9-1. Everybody else, 20-1 or longer. And if I'm looking at the 20, first of all correct, right? Center should be minus 200. But if you ask the inevitable question, hey, what about the 20 to ones or longer? Is there any name there that sticks out to you? I don't know. Is Ben Shelton ever going to show up deep in one of these? Is that going to happen here at some point? Is this the one?
And Alcaraz is out?
Alcaraz is out.
Out. Okay.
Out. Yes. O-U-T.
So what do you feel? I guess my biggest question actually is, what do you feel about this center price compared to what we were staring at the French Open?
I feel it's commensurate with that. You know, center ended up being, we had center at minus 120, but it ended up being what, minus 350.
Yeah.
Drew was saying it should be $4 at the French. Okay, those were his numbers. I mean, I think Yannick Sinner, you could justify anywhere in the twos to me on this. Just got to avoid major heat, right? And long matches.
Now we know
that's his kryptonite.
We know clay's a great surface for Alcaraz, so that was the big swing there. Sinner, surface wise, is this better for him than clay?
I mean, he's an all court player.
Yeah, he's pretty all around, right?
Yeah, he's the best on everything, along with Carlitos. But you know, just in terms of the slams won between those two guys, just for the historical, you know, record of those things, it was Sinner who was winning winning hard courts, and Carlos was winning clay and grass in between for a while, and then Yannick broke through by winning Wimbledon last year. So I mean, all these the great players are all court in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we know Rafa's the king of clay, he won multiple slams on other surfaces as well. And same for Novak, same for Carlos now, same for Yannick now. So you really can't pinpoint him to one. He's still the best on all. On the women's side, where Iga Świątek is the defending champion, Arina Sabalenka is plus 275, Elena Rybakina plus 350. There's Iga at 4-1, Mira Andreeva, French Open champ, at 8-1, and Coco at 8-1. This is a surefire free for all.
Yeah, this is
because
wide open, right?
Amanda Nisimova is going to be live at 11-1, and she got the finals and before Iga bageled her in the finals last year. Iva Jovic, Danny Higgins' favorite tennis player, she's 25-1.
Has Pegula gotten too long?
I don't think she's too long.
Okay.
I kind of feel like the Jesse Pegula peak.
Oh,
may have happened. I don't want to do that to her, but I feel like she got everything out of her talents, and I just don't know if she's going to ever get as deep into these slams as she has in the past. By the way, that's no knock. She'd get to the semis, and it won't be as deep as she's gotten, right? In some of these slams, because she got to the finals before at the U.S. Open. Marta Kostyuk is in there. She's been great. Maddie Keys. By the way, I should point out, Taylor Fritz on the other side, on the men's side, I had him yesterday against Ben Shelton. His grass numbers are insanely good. So I think Taylor Fritz, as he comes back from injury, he actually might make a good Wimbledon run.
Okay.
He's a name that I think I'll probably back a lot at Wimbledon. But on the ladies' side, it's a free-for-all, man. You could tell me any one of those players that I just mentioned wins it, and I would not. I kind of would be shocked if Mira Andreeva won it. But everybody else, Sabalenka, Rybakina, Świątek, Goff, Anisimova, Jovic, I wouldn't be surprised. Maddie Keys has one more in her. I don't know. So it's a total free-for-all. That's where I stand right now, 2 weeks out from Wimbledon, the Grass Slam.
How do you handicap Taylor Fritz going through a breakup? You know,
very interesting because Zach Cohen, by the way, knows more about this. By the way, it's Mitch Michaels who invites us on his podcast. He's the real guy who knows all this tennis dating stuff. But it's unclear if he dumped her, Morgan Riddle, or if she dumped him. And then she put out a 33-bullet-point manifesto of what her next man will not be like. And one of them was he can't gamble, which makes me think that Taylor Fritz was a gambler.
Yeah, it was never an athlete again, not a gambler again. It was a lot of that.
You know what? She could you know what? Really not an athlete? He made you, dude.
I feel a lot more sympathetic, and I'm rooting for Taylor Fritz a lot more after that. Public.
Hi, I'm an influencer. I globbed onto you like a barnacle on a boat for years, and now I'm going to act like I don't want to date an athlete again. Well, I got you kind of where you are. Sorry.
Oh, man. Plenty of U.S. Open to talk this week. Shout out, though, to Bud Cauley, who we brought up a couple weeks ago on the show. Takes home the RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about his crazy tee to green numbers that tournament a couple weeks ago, and he lost like 12 strokes putting. Turns it around this week, man. First win of his career. 239th start. Incredible story. Had a bad car accident about 8 years ago. Came back from that. If you've ever heard tour players talk about this guy, so always been one of those guys. Justin Thomas, big one of watch out. He's one of the best out here you just don't know about. Finally gets his first win ever yesterday.
And we'll talk with Wes Reynolds later about the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills later today. Scottie Scheffler, plus 455 to win it. Followed by Rory at plus 950 and John Rahm at plus 1025. We will talk with him later. Dallin Cuff on the World Cup next on A Numbers Game.